The Electrician Podcast, powered by Schneider Electric. We're bringing you the electrical industry experts you need to hear to discuss the topics you need to know about.
Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Electrician Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Miller. Today's guest is Daryl Sharp, the Technical Operations Manager for e-mobility at Schneider Electric. Daryl, can you tell me a bit more about your role and how long you've been in the industry?
Hi, Sean. So my role with regards to e-mobility for Schneider Electric in the UK and Ireland, I've been in it for the past, August now, so it's the past 13 months. And I cover sort of all technical sort of questions regarding the e-mobility section, so with regards to power or the chargers. And I also deal with at a consultant level on the build-up to projects as well, trying to help them decide it. So I've got a sort of right at the start and then all the way to the end, all the way up to the commissioning and the final installation of the products. And industry-wise, I've been with Schneider 4 years now. Started with technical support in the automation division doing PLCs and HMIs. Previously to that, I'd spent 9 years with a company some people may be aware of called Phoenix Contact, doing, again, technical support, but for all their product range. So for everything they cover in the UK. So everything from the little terminal blocks and PCBs all the way up to their automation products.
With net zero commitments and sustainability targets, EV is becoming more important than ever. My role as host of this podcast is to ask questions relevant to electricians. So what we're going to do in this episode is have a quick fire round of questions. I'm going to chuck some questions out there to you. So starting with the first question, how many ranges of EV chargers does Schneider Electric have?
So at present, we've currently got, I suppose you'd say it's four in the range. So we've got a basic wall box charger that's not smart. So it's basically just a plug-and-play thing. Anything from 3.7 up to 22 kilowatts. The next one we've got is our smart wall box, which you'd probably see for a sort of domestic sort of install on the side of a house. Again, that's 3.7 up to 22 kilowatts. But it has smart connectivity. So at that point, it has the ability to come under the OLEV grant and you get a bit more interactivity with it, with the web server that's based in it. We've then got our EV-Link parking, which again is a 3.7 to 22 kilowatt range to power, but it's more of the industrial one. So it's sort of more boxy. It's a twin socket one. You'd see it outside office blocks or multi-story apartments. And then you've got the rapid version that we've got. So again, it's gone larger again. That's anything from 24 up to 50 kilowatts. And it's the sort of ones that your customers would see sort of at a motorway service station where you get instant charge in about half an hour.
What RCD protection do you recommend to meet BS 767 118th edition?
For the standards, for the 18th edition Ethernet standards, it changed in March. So previously it was a Type A with a DC filter. And that was the more preferred option with a Type B as the secondary one. As of March this year, they changed it. So we've gone for the Type B, and it's what Schneider approved as well, because it's a more robust, functional one, and it doesn't cause so much nuisance stripping. So it's a Type B version, which you can either get as a single-phase version or as a three-phase version.
So a more controversial question here. Do you think the charge point operator model is better in the UK or Scotland?
It's a yes and no answer. Yes, the model they've got in Scotland, present with ChargePlace Scotland, is a good model because it's a single operator for public charging. It does have a few bugs and glitches in it at the moment, but it's not awful, but it could be improved. Whereas if you come to public charging down in England, Ireland and Wales, so for the rest of the UK, the problem is public charging could be anyone. You could have a plethora of operators. I think there's well over 30 or 40 different ones you can have at the moment. So it's different apps, different cards, different fobs. It all becomes a bit of a, depending on where you go and where you are, you might need a different app, you might need to sign up, you give your bank details, whereas ChargePlace Scotland is one source, one thing. If you could get the two of them working sort of in synergy, it would be better if all the other operators had interoperability. So you could use your card on a different type of manufacturer's charger or a different manufacturer's back office. That would be, I think, the best model for the two. But unfortunately, at the moment, it's Scotland. I've got their own one with the Scottish Government, and the rest of the UK are just leaving it open. However, there is people like Octopus Energy who are trying to do interoperability between chargers. So let's see if that takes up.
Does the Schneider Electric EV range have accreditation to be used for public charge points in Scotland?
Yes. We passed the operational test, interoperability. I can't say that's a big word, that one is. We passed the CPSC's CYS test last September / November. And 2 weeks ago, just before I went on holiday, I completed our first install of chargers on ChargePlay Scotland. And as of the Friday before I went on holiday, they confirmed that they were fully functional and active on the system. So we are, I think, the most recent manufacturer and probably the only one for the past couple of years to be newly integrated into their system. So it was a big thing for us and a big thing for them.
And for someone like myself who doesn't have the foggiest idea what OCPP compliance means, could you explain it?
So OCPP compliance isn't about RoboCop. It's Open Charge Point Protocol. So on a very basic level, if you do sort of building management systems, it's about the ability to read-write messages. So the charger and the back office can talk to each other. So the charger can talk to the back office and say, I'm here, somebody wants to charge. The back office can take that data, read it, and then go back to the charger and say, yes, I authorize you to charge. So it's like handshaking between the two of them on a very basic level. But it's something that some manufacturers have and some that don't. So if you've got OCPP on your charger, it gives you the ability to talk with different manufacturers and different back office operators. So it gives you more of that interoperability that I was talking about previously.
My next question leads on to more around the design phase of a project. Why is load management important when planning an EV project?
Load management is a very important question to ask, because unfortunately most people, when you ask the question how much energy have they got or how much power have they go, I've got loads. So it's not like being at home where you can plug your Hoover into the wall, you can plug a lamp, you can plug a TV, you plug a stereo, and you never have to worry about your incoming tripping. When you do it on a building like that, the buildings normally have been designed, so if it's a retrofit, the buildings have usually been designed with a load capacity in mind, and then the DNO has given you a supply to match that. So there's the potential that you've only got a very small margin of error depending on what your maximum capacity is. So when you try and stick chargers onto it, each charger is potentially another 32 amps of load onto that. So you need to be aware of what the building consumes and what the maximum available is, so that you can either upgrade your incoming or look at load management to make more of an efficient use of the power you've got available, because generally most buildings don't operate at full power all the time. There'll be peaks and troughs, be it first thing in the morning when everyone comes in, lunchtime when the canteens turn on, and then nighttime when everyone goes home. You see that power will fluctuate throughout the day, and having a load management there means that you'll be able to efficiently use that power as and when it's available, rather than not having it and having the chargers just trickle charge all the time.
Do you see load management also becoming more important in the residential sector as we become more reliant on electrical vehicles?
At a residential level, yes. I mean, probably even more so when vehicle-to-grid becomes a bigger thing, because potentially if everyone in your street's got a car and that car's got a 40-kilowatt, 50-kilowatt battery in it, you could look at using that power rather than using off the grid. So you could balance the grid's inefficiencies with what the power is there. Potentially, if you've got your own battery storage and your PV storage in your house, you could link that with the car, so the car gets electricity off the grid when it's cheap, but then when you come back, if you've got excess, you use that, and then you're then manipulating the costs of electricity. So theoretically, you could go off grid, or you could use your battery. You could use your car as a massive battery to use electricity when it's more expensive, and then gain electricity when it's cheaper. So it's definitely something for the domestic market. I do know people at the moment that do it, and sort of you look at it as a way of doing it, but it'll definitely become more of a thing going forward, especially with gas central heating becoming a thing that's going to be stopped as well. And when you start going to air source ground heat pumps, that requirement for more and more power in your house, be it through your heating or the ability to charge your car, you'll have to find ways to balance the capacity and balance the requirements of it all.
Very insightful answer there. What's the best advice you could give to someone when planning an EV solution?
The best advice, I suppose, is to ask the customer what they want. And then once you've got all that written down, ask them what they need. Because generally people think they know what they want, and they'll go through all these things, like, I want it to sing and dance, and I want it to have flashing lights, and I want it to cook my dinner for me. And then you say, right, what do you actually need? What cars have you got? When do you want to charge them? How are you going to charge them? And then you can actually get that information. You get past the point of what they think they want, and then you understand what they need, and then from that you can design the system that best suits them and then gives them what they want.
And how important is future-proofing?
Future-proofing is probably, after you've asked for wants and needs, future-proofing is the next one, because generally a lot of people will say, I want a charger now, and I want it to charge my car, and they go, fine, right. And then what will happen is you'll get what you asked for. You'll get what you want, but not what you need. So then you'll install the charger, and they'll go, right, I've got two Teslas now. And you go, ah, well, you've only got one charge socket. Oh, well, do me another one. And then you've got to go back to the start and redesign it all and do your energy management, do your civils, do your protections. It's always best to envisage that there's going to be, this isn't going to go away. It's not going to get smaller. It's only going to get bigger. Maybe in a residential situation, it's probably not so relevant. But when you start going to industrial and commercial, the ability to for you to go to the customer, here's what you want. But potentially in 2 or 5 years' time, you might want me to come back and install another 10. So what I'll do is I'll do all the trunking. I can do the cabling. I can have your distribution board. It's sitting there empty. All I've got to come back is click in the protection, drop some cables, pull it, and there we go. We're done. You've got a simple way to expand your system and grow with the system. And that's the way, instead of redesigning the whole thing from scratch every time you come back and want to change, make it so that it's a fully functional, flexible system.
And when considering the solution or system, how important is remote access?
Remote access is quite it's a good subject. Depending on where your install is, it might not always necessarily be possible to run a Cat5 cable to your nearest network point and then get that onto a network and get that onto the internet so you can access it. So that might be because you're there instead of a car park and you don't want to dig up the whole car park to run a Cat5 cable. Or it might be that even if you do get into the building, for cybersecurity reasons, the IT department won't give you access to a port which takes them outside, which potentially leaves them open to cybersecurity access. So the ability to have that remote access to dial into the charger, be it for monitoring, for servicing, for billing, is a really good thing to have. And I actually did one for a customer 3 weeks ago where they've put their chargers in the system, put a 4G modem in it. We sat there, we figured it out. They got their fixed IP SIM, and then we showed them how they could dial into each charger. And they were doing it from their mobile phone. And it's as simple as just an IP address, password, username, and you're in. And then you've got full access to the charging, see it.
What has been your most exciting EV project that you've worked on? Or do you have any projects you've worked on that you'd like to share?
Exciting projects. I mean, the Forth Valley College one I did last week, or not last week, the week before with the Charge Play Scotland was an exciting one, because from getting to the point of us not being an established manufacturer on the network to the point of last Friday at 4:30 before I went on holiday, I got an email saying, yes, we've got connectivity, it's on, and now we've got people on their charge. And that was a good one. It's taken a long time to get there, and it's probably been the most complicated back office to get onto, but it was a good one to sort of go through all the steps of all the testing, integration, getting it back, getting it installed, getting it updated. That was a good one. With regards to exciting ones, I've done a few recently. One ones that sticks out in my mind is at Manchester Airport. So they've had a system in place for long stay car park. So you can drive up, drop your car off in the valet parking, we'll park it up. And then you tell them you're going to be back. And then the day before, they'll take your car, stick it on the charger, charge it up for 6-8 hours. So when you turn up, when you got off the car, off the plane, fully all sunned up, you turn up, your EV car's fully charged and ready to go. That was an interesting one to be involved in and get all the system and get it all run from running, so because it looks good.
I think it's certainly a different thought process from 20 years ago. There's a lot more, I think, consideration involved in EV. But this certainly sounds like an exciting project. Last question will be, can you get OLEV certification from Schneider Electric?
Yes. So all our AC chargers, now that's only the smart and the smart versions, so only the smart wall box and EVLink parking are OLEV approved, because of July 2019, the government changed the rules so that the devices that you got OLEV grant had to be they call it smart, but it's effectively having a connectivity. So be it Wi-Fi, hardwired, anything along those sort of lines, 4G, it was to have that functionality. They don't need to use it, but they just need to have it. So yeah, all our AC chargers are that. Now, I believe we've got the portal website up and running for electricians where you can log into that, or if you've not already signed up, sign up to it, log in, and that will get you onto our portal, and then you can sit the test there. So you watch a little presentation, answer some questions at the end, and if you email back in your pass certificate you get along to one of our colleagues, she will generate the documentation which says you're an approved installer for XYZ of our chargers.
Thanks for that, Daryl. Yeah, if anyone listening isn't a member, our electrician program is free to register and all of the training is free. So go check it out. If you just Google Schneider Electric Electrician Program, you'll see all the links to register. It's a great program if you're not a member already. Daryl, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today. A lot of insights into EV, and I'm sure our listeners will appreciate. If you have any questions for Daryl for a future episode, please reach out to the electrician team or our Facebook community and leave some questions, and we'll happily dive into some more topics for you. Thanks so much, guys, for tuning in. Thanks, Daryl.
Thank you, Sean.
Thanks for listening. If you are enjoying this show, please leave a review. Hit subscribe and stay tuned for more episodes.